Welcome to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favourite streaming platform. Okay. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we've got Angad Salaria with us, who is Senior Director of Engineering at Complex. It's great to have you join us. I've been really looking forward to this conversation. So, yeah, thanks for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So I'm really excited about this conversation because we're going to be talking about engineers' pathway towards leadership. And, you know, we've had a lot of people on the show previously who have spoken about, you know, how to be a good leader, you know, what is good leadership, what is good management. But, you know, this is a slightly different angle about how to empower engineers to become leaders. So I think this is going to be really interesting. But before we dive in at the deep end, let's just get a bit of insight into Complex and what your role entails there.
Yeah, so Complex provides risk analytics and intelligence solutions in the form of a couple of niche products for cybersecurity and insurance. But in addition to that, and more importantly, Complex platform has been built to make available these underlying data analytics capabilities that we use to power our cybersecurity and insurance solutions to companies in any domain that is interested in harnessing that the potential of their data, right? So let's say a healthcare company or a logistics company or a law firm, when you start looking at the nature of challenges pertaining to data, you know, such as, you know, starting from data ingestion, orchestration, transformation, visualization, you know, data search, storage, and even basic things like access and security, lineage and provenance. You know, these challenges are pretty uniform across the board. And so we're building products to help enterprises come on top of these challenges so as to enable the domain experts to focus on their job and make better decisions faster. So Complex, you know, Complex platform is designed to help people basically focus their attention on what matters. And my job, in a nutshell, is leading the development efforts of this core platform at Complex that we call Complex OS. You know, it's a team of teams working on the platform, and we have multiple products that make up the platform.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we started small with a big vision, but are now, thankfully, growing rapidly and are a lot bigger company with the same big vision. Mm-hmm. So headed in the right direction. And quite proud of what we've been able to achieve so far.
That's brilliant. That's great. I mean, you know, we're going to be talking about leadership. I want to find out how you got into the position of Senior Director of Engineering. I mean, mm-hmm. What was that? What did that look like? What did your career look like to get there?
Yeah, no, glad you asked that. You know, I think first and foremost is really a will and an intent to learn and grow, right? And a persistent commitment to oneself towards the same. And that will sort of lead you towards these opportunities. You know, when you know what you want and are committed to it, these opportunities will come to you, and you know you want to grab it, right? Mm-hmm. I think in my own journey, I started my career at a multinational technology consulting firm. It had 120,000 employees at the time.
Wow.
And I just loathed being there.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I could not figure out why it would take such a long time to get a single line of code out to production. It was just, yeah. Right. It was just, you know, the amount of red tape and bureaucracy was too much, and the pace of innovation and problem solving was too slow.
Yeah.
So I think that's when I sort of committed, like, I want to join a startup. And really be close, you know, be in a more intimate setting, be closer to, you know, being part of the decision-making about how we solve problems, what problems to solve.
Yeah.
And, you know, really grow from there. And the opportunity came soon, you know, found myself at Kinsale Insurance. That was an insurtech startup. I think it was a startup insurance before insurtech was a term. This is way back in like 2009, 2010. You know, I started as an engineer building various components of their in-house end-to-end insurance platform, and really found myself in a place where the execution time between a worthy idea and implementation was really trim.
Right.
And I knew that, okay, I'd found the right place for myself, right, where I can contribute to ideas and solutions. And so saw a tremendous opportunity to learn and grow, contribute towards a long vision and see it come to life. You know, we built that end-to-end platform to enable competitive advantage for this company, or expense ratio was a lean 22% and combined ratio was at 83%, where the industry average is 97. What that means is, like, for every dollar that you earn, you expend 97 cents. And that's what most commonly seen in large insurance companies in the E&S sector. And the reason we were so competitive was because of the technology we built in-house. So I think I learned a lot of my engineering chops at my time at Kinsale. Coming back to your question as to how I navigated my career, there are a few basic sort of tenets that I've seen pay dividends over my career. And I think I'll just lay them down. These are basically that I always go back to and remind myself. And so first of all, the first thing is, and this applies to any position, I think, just focus on solving problems, right? And save yourself time and energy for that. Yeah. And shut everything else off. Just focus on the problems. There's tremendous growth potential there. I mean, solve the problems at hand. If you're idle, look for new problems to solve. Second, you know, goes hand in hand with this. Come forward with a solution rather than the problem. Problems will always be there, right? And often it can be easy for us to get in this trap of, well, we can't do XYZ because there's this problem and there's that problem. And, you know, it's a sort of a manner of excuse, but okay, granted, problem is there. What's the solution for it? So come forward with the solution. It just shows a lot of proactiveness. I think third, and this one is my favorite, is be a self-starter, right? Ask for forgiveness than permission. And it's actually, and when you're doing that, you're taking this in. So it actually ties into leadership, and we'll get to that later as well. And then lastly, you know, just be professional and respectful at all times. I think that goes a long way. Hold your own, keep grace, don't burn bridges. You know, if you want to fight, go fight with your friends, fight with your brother or sister, you know, at work. Just, you know, so sometimes you're going to be working with people you don't get along with, and that's okay. If you can just think about keeping it professional, you'll find a way to work forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's amazing advice. And, you know, there's so many points that you touched upon there that I want to kind of expand on. And one of them was one of the things you said kind of at the beginning, which was, you know, you went from a huge company and then you kind of wanted to be on ground level. Mm-hmm. So you joined a startup. And did you find it easier then in a startup to then progress in your career, would you say?
It was, and I mean, it was, so I will say that this was what worked for me. So I wouldn't say like it may work for everybody else, but certainly my intent was exactly what you said. I wanted to be closer to the ground.
Yeah.
And see how you build a technology shop from ground up as well, right? So you know, the first thing I saw was, hey, guess what? Now that single line of code that used to take like weeks or months to ship, looks like these guys are doing it in a day. Yeah, like, yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, that's good. So how do you do that? And how do you continue doing that as you grow? And as companies grow, it's easy. Every company will face this, right? It's easy to bring in process to manage that growth, right? I think this, the right approach though is, instead of increasing process, you just continue doubling down and increasing on talent, and relying on your talented workforce to make decisions closer to the transaction, closer to the ground, closer to the keyboard, versus you sort of managing them with process. Process is sometimes, I mean, look, it is necessary, but I think there's that balance. You gotta keep that balance at all times. It's you know, process cannot be for the sake of it, right? It has to be something that propels growth and value.
Yeah, absolutely.
So always, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And would you say it's a lot of about being kind of promoted in the industry would be about being able to be seen? I mean, do you think that, you know, in a huge company, it's more difficult or more challenging to get promoted in your industry because, you know, there's so many people in the teams, you know, there's very different levels of management. And I just think if you're in a startup, you know, the work that you do, you can actually see the difference. Everybody can see the difference that you're doing. And to me, it feels like that'll be an easier place to kind of grow your career. But correct me if I'm wrong. I might be wrong there.
No, and that's what I, you know, that's what was rewarding.
Yeah.
Definitely for me is that I was, you know, the odds of me making impact and the the opportunity to do that was so much greater, right, at a start at a startup. And again, it's just given you it's a smaller setting, the process overhead is low. People treat people as people versus you know, badged employees. I mean, I've heard about great big companies doing it right as well. And certainly there's subject matter over there as well to explore how you do that. And it's an art.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, I'm thinking about your team now. So if you're thinking about leaders of the future, and surely you're going to be wanting to lift up and empower your team to become leaders mm-hmm. in the future. So how do you do that? How do you encourage your team to become the best version of themselves and take those necessary steps up to becoming a leader?
You know, my approach here definitely comes from my own experience as an engineer. When I was one, a manager in a company culture that allowed me to take decisions autonomously, it went a long way in getting me excited and motivated and engaged. There is a freedom aspect there, and it comes with responsibility. But, you know, happy to take that responsibility for the decisions I make, but give me the freedom to make them, right? That's how you grow. So my approach has been to allow teams to be autonomous, give them the space to take decisions. And, you know, sometimes you'll make mistakes, but that's okay. As long as you're not making the same mistakes over and over again. I lead multiple teams, and each team, you know, has its own spirit, its own energy. And the best teams are teams that are self-organizing, take collective decisions while seeking guidance when needed, and then sharing a sense of responsibility amongst each other. That's a mark of a highly performing team, and that's what, you know, I'll try to achieve in every team. But that does not always happen. You know, when you set the stage for, you know, this freedom and ownership model to enable positive team dynamic to come about by grounding them upon me, expecting them to self-organize and rely on each other, you're also setting the stage for, you know, the reverse to happen. Mm-hmm. And you might see a team where no one wants to take a decision because no one wants to bear the responsibility, or no joint decision takes place because folks don't trust each other or do not communicate with each other, right? This is a sign of a team that will not perform optimally towards established goals. And this is where a leader has to step in and course correct. And there are multiple ways there, which can be its own topic. But, you know, back to high performing teams, I want to bring up an example at work very recently. you know, we went live with a product launch in 2.5 months, start to finish. It was an aggressive effort. Yep, we went from requirements gathering to design to architecture to implementation, QA and rollout, all in 2.5 months. Great success, right? The team was very proud of what it accomplished. Now, a great example here in terms of, you know, leadership potential. So we had four teams involved here working side by side, mm-hmm. and in every team we had a senior tech lead present, except for one team, and this team was central to the product. It was basically the product, you know, the core product feature set was this team's responsibility. And we had multiple junior to early mid-level engineers.
Yeah.
But no one senior.
Okay.
But one of them, and we'll call him Joe, it's not his real name, but for the sake of the narrative, we'll call him Joe. So Joe took it upon himself to be the point person and the coordinator, both internally for his team as well as externally.
Right.
And, you know, his contribution from a development perspective is I would say 15% of the entirety of the stack.
Wow.
But he saw that, you know, there's this missing gap. There's this gap in responsibility, and I'm just going to step in. Now that is leadership, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times Joe did not have all the answers for the team or could not take the decisions himself, but Joe would find the people in the company who would get him the answers, and he'd take them to the team.
Yeah.
So that's leadership. The reason I bring this example is that Joe did not have a leadership title. He wasn't the tech lead or the engineering manager or the architect. And so coming to encouraging folks to becoming leaders, right, it's essentially for me has come down to looking for such attitudes in people. And first of all, allowing it, but then providing the opportunity. Now, if you remember, you know, the basic tenets that I mentioned, being a self-starter and seeking, you know, asking forgiveness, then permission. and taking decisions. That's a mark of a leader. So in terms of providing the opportunity before I would put Joe in a formal leadership position, I'd ensure that he acquires the skills of the trade, you know, gets to a senior position, and that takes time, and that's okay. But you know, it's great growth. Personally, I find it important that one invests in such growth, and it's great growth for them, and it's great dividend for the company down the line. And I think it's rewarding to see the growth in someone than, you know, charting that path and trajectory. Now, there's another class of future leaders you want to grow. That's the leader of leaders.
Right.
And that's a different dynamic.
Yeah, totally.
As a leader of leaders, you're looking at a new set of skills. If this is what helped me. If you're in a leadership position, leading multiple leaders already, a good way to think of this is how do you grow someone to take your position? And that immediately sort of helps you in understanding the nature of skills you might be looking for.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, I know it sounds a bit like, well, aren't you replacing yourself in your job then? And there's the saying, right? Work yourself out of your job to grow your team. But yes, if you're able to do that, you know, you've got the right folks taking decisions such that you being out does not mean the train stops, which is good.
Yeah, definitely. I was just wondering if you think, you know, I've seen in the past in my career, I've seen poor leadership and poor management. And mm-hmm. I find that sometimes people become leaders and managers for the wrong reasons. You know, it could be for the title, for the money. And I just think that's a really, really bad recipe for leadership. And I mean, have you seen that before? Surely.
Yeah.
I think everyone has.
This is such an interesting topic, especially in technology.
Yeah.
Ben, so I mean, yeah, it's a great topic. There's the interesting thing in technology is you do very good as an engineer. Automatically, it's assumed that you're slated to be the next leader, tech lead, or manager, right?
But definitely,
that does not always equate.
Yeah,
it's a different set of skills.
Yeah,
and yes, I have seen multiple times this happen, and you know, you put the wrong person. Or rather, it's the right person, quite frankly. It's the right person for what they were doing, but in a different role, it's wrong. It's the wrong fit. Or they're not ready yet. So I think when it comes to, aspects to consider when becoming a leader, first of all, it's an individual choice. You know, don't just do it because you've been put in that position. It's, you know, if you choose to be an individual contributor, that's absolutely fine. It's required. We need those contributors, right? So it's a completely personal choice to take a leadership position.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so interesting what you say because, you know, you're so right. I mean, being an engineer to then being a manager of a team of engineers is so different. But I've seen it a lot of times where, you know, people do that kind of jump to leadership and then they don't particularly like it. So they kind of dart up and down between, you know, being hands-on with the technology and then being in a different project where they're leading a team. You know, it kind of, I find that quite fascinating that people can kind of do that in this industry. You can kind of move up and down kind of at your peril, really. But also, I'm wondering about leadership as a whole now. So this is a big question now, Angad. Do you think leadership is learned or it's innate?
Yeah. You know, I truly think, I mean, I'll answer it plainly. I truly think leaders are made.
Right.
I think one may find some innate abilities by virtue of the upbringing or experiences you may have had growing up. You know, let's say you played a lot of team sports as a kid or other team activities. I think looking back at my childhood, I, for example, was raised in a family with like a long lineage of military history.
Right.
And I grew up in an environment watching leaders, you know, in these armed forces. There were a lot of good examples for me to observe. I know that came handy for me later on in my life as I grew up to be a professional. But gosh, no, that was, you know, I had a lot of learning to do once I, you know, got in a position where I had elite teams. And I think, you know, there have been a lot of humbling moments as well. And so I know for myself that I had to learn it. So, you know, thinking if I were to take my own experience as an answer, I think it is certainly something that can be learned. I think you go back to, again, a personal decision for yourself. Do you want to do it or not? And you got to be very clear and true to yourself. I think, speaking of being true to yourself, I think one aspect to consider is when you're making that choice for yourself is authenticity. You're going to face situations where you're tested and your authenticity is going to come to the surface very quickly. Mm-hmm. And in those moments, the choice before you is, do you act like a leader or be the leader you are?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But there's no perfection here in this art of leadership. We're all students of this. You'll make mistakes. When you be the leader you are, you're not perfect. You'll make the mistakes. You learn. But staying true to yourself in those moments, remaining authentic, allows you to learn and grow quickly and establish that foundation for yourself that you have full conviction on, because you were completely honest with yourself in making those decisions and learnings. And this can get uncomfortable, and it needs practicing vulnerability at times. And so I think considering that is important, and just impressing upon yourself or reminding yourself that there's going to be this dichotomy and internal conflict, and that's okay. And as long as you're honest with yourself, with the decisions you make, know that you're on a forward path to learning.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And I'm curious to find out, kind of when you were becoming a leader, when you were taking that step up, what resources did you rely on to kind of learn about this? Or did you have a mentor? Or how did it go for you?
You know, that's interesting you bring that up, because today I'm actually looking for the same thing.
Right.
you know, in my position. Yeah, you're always looking, right? So I think a couple of approaches I've seen work pretty well. So yes, you can find a mentor. Having asked some mentors what they did, what I found out was this, you know, this common theme. A lot of folks basically, you know, found this council of advisors for them, which could be your friends or your sometimes peers or some, you know, folks you found from professional network. And just these are the people who you share what you're going through at work, and they will, you know, they can advise you. And these are people who are also in leadership positions, so you're trading notes, right? So I'm actually, you know, I'm on the lookout for my counsel. I have a counsel, and I'm always looking to expand and have diverse ideas. I think it really helps to bounce ideas off of other people who are in similar positions. I will not say that I have read books. I'm not a voracious reader, so, and I know that helps people as well. But I think the council of advisors approach works great.
If you can think back to when you started out as a leader, is there any aspects that you found most challenging? And then also, if so, how did you get over that?
Yeah, I had an identity crisis.
Right.
When I first took this position, yeah. Took a sort of a manager position, with, you know, and just the word manager itself.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. When you, as an engineer, you know, we see our value in the code we write, the solutions we create.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And really, you know, there's a lot of gratification in doing that. When you crank out a piece of software, it works as expected. It's very rewarding. It's, and to see something that's, you know, that was an idea or on paper as requirements and come to life, very rewarding. So as a manager, it took me away from that, right? And for me, that sense of self-worth,
yeah,
so to say, was not there. Like, I'm not doing what gives me my self-worth, my self-value, right? I'm not cranking out that next piece of code or software. It was there was this battle. And so on the other hand, as a manager, I was solving some managerial, you know, problems. I was solving some team issues, but the thing is, I wasn't giving myself credit for that.
Yeah.
Because again, I'm still, you know, in my heart, I'm still an engineer. I'm like, no, it's constantly, you know, I want to write that next piece of code. And when I'm doing that, I'm not doing my managerial duties. So
yeah.
it took a while, I will say. And certainly at Complex, you know, we grew so quickly. I was employee number 33. We're about 250 employees now in this span of 4 years. So it really propelled and compelled me to challenge myself and grow quickly, you know, get past these are very mental, rather personal sort of barriers and hurdles more than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, when you decided to become a leader, did you Did you know it yourself, or did someone else tell you, like, you should do this, or, like, it's your time to step up now? Or did you kind of realize yourself?
Yeah, I did. As I said, everybody has to make that personal decision, right? And you have to know your why. Why do you want to do it? So for me, it came down to creating value, creating solutions. What I realized was there are 24 hours in a day. There's only so much code I can write. What I find rewarding is building value for users, customers, you know, bringing them, you know, solving a problem for them, right? Like, okay, I can do more of that. I can enable more of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? If I can learn to lead teams. And on the flip side of that, the other rewarding experience is, you know, enabling teams to grow as well, individuals to grow as part of that equation. So that has been my constant reminder. Whenever I've had these conflicts, I'm like, okay, this is the reason why I chose, right? So that then helps me sort of take that next step forward in my journey.
Yeah. I mean, I do find, you know, speaking to, you know, people in similar positions to yourself, they often do really miss the hands-on approach to work, but probably for the same reasons that you just mentioned. But yeah, like you were saying, it is worth remembering that you are helping more things happen from the position that you're in, even if it might not feel like it at the time, because you're not physically doing the code yourself.
And thinking retrospectively, that is the case. And actually, I just had this thought as you asked me that, you know, when you said that. So it is it's been fulfilling, and it's sort of, I guess, like a validation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm thinking, Angad, if we can get one more question out of you, if that's all right. I know you're a very busy man, so I do appreciate you taking the time to do this. But, you know, what advice are you giving people, or what advice would you give someone who's looking to take a similar career path to yourself, or end up in a similar position to where you're at?
You know, I understand. I mean, that's a good question. Although, you know, I'll caution. So if you're looking to emulate someone's career, I would say stop yourself right there, right?
Okay.
Have goals that are meaningful for you, and only you can answer what those goals are.
Yeah.
But coming to, you know, what you said in terms of, you know, being in a position similar to yours, perhaps what that means, let's say, you know, being in a leadership position, where you're enabling teams, enabling growth for the company you work for. If there's one goal I have here today, doing this podcast for our audience, Ben, is to appeal to engineers of today, mm-hmm. to be leaders of tomorrow. You know, I think in our field, in technology, from what I've seen, the best leaders are those who have an appreciation for the craft of engineering. And I've seen it go really bad when that appreciation is not there. So in fact, I'd go one step further and say, these are the kind of leaders we need for a better tomorrow, leaders who have engineered solutions. So, you know, if you're an engineer, what I would say is, think of the leader you want for yourself in your current job or position. And you know, ask yourself, why is it important that such a leader exists? And once you've answered that, I urge you to consider being that leader yourself. So, I mean, I guess it's not an advice, more of a call to action.
Yeah, absolutely.
but you know, hopefully more effective for the intended outcome.
I love the idea that, you know, we've got, you know, engineering, you know, engineers in listening to this podcast and, you know, taking advice from this, and, you know, that's a great feeling as well, like you were saying.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. I guess I'm always doing this just advertising for the company. We are looking to hire leaders. Okay. We're going to be growing pretty rapidly, so we're going to need leaders. So, you know, if you happen to reach that conclusion for yourself, you know, look at our career site or hit me up. And I'd be happy to talk.
Excellent. Brilliant. Thanks so much, Angad. I've really, really enjoyed this conversation. I've learned a hell of a lot. And it's been really, really interesting. So thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Thanks so much, Ben. It's been a pleasure. Wonderful chatting with you.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform.